Let's face it, life isn't easy. If you're stuck in a bad relationship, betrayed or afraid of tomorrow, financially insecure or desperate for a breakthrough, you've come to the right place. Dr. Carmen Hara is a renowned psychologist, intuitive, relationship expert, and best-selling author, and she's here to give you the miracle guidance you need. Her new call-in show, Miracle Guidance for Everyday Life, offers profound wisdom, practical advice, daily exercises, and empowering predictions, all for you. Dr. Hara's show aims to eliminate everyday problems, big and small, with topics like healing your relationships, reclaiming your power, achieving better health, dealing with loss, and so much more. Regain the joy, stability, and fulfillment you deserve to feel. Tune in to Miracle Guidance for Everyday Life with host Dr. Carmen Hara, live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, and find the answers you've been looking for.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Miracle Guidance. I'm Carmen Hara, live every Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Home Time Radio. And tonight, I'm so honored to have a very special guest who will help you navigate through your relationship. His name is no one other than Dr. John Gray. We all familiar with his book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. In fact, it became the most well-known and trusted relationship book of all times. And USA Today listed this book as one of the top 10 most influential books of the last quarter century. But Dr. Gray didn't stop here. He has written over 20 books, which were translated into 45 languages in more than 100 countries and continue to be bestsellers. His Mars-Venus book series has forever changed the way men and women view their relationship, and his most recent book is called Beyond Mars and Venus. I know that he helped men and women better understand and respect their differences in both personal and professional relationship. His approach combines communication techniques with healthy nutritional choices that create the brain and body chemistry for lasting health, happiness, and romance. Now, his many books, blogs, and free online workshops at MarsandVenus.com provide practical insight to improve relationship at all stages in life and love. He's an advocate of health and optimal brain function, and Dr. Gray provides nutritional solution for overcoming depression, anxiety, stress, supporting increased energy, libido, hormonal balance, and better sleep. Now, I can talk like this for hours about Dr. Gray appearing on Oprah, on Dr. Oz, on Today Show, CBS, Good Morning America, being profiled on Times, Forbes, USA Today, People Magazine, and Barbara Walters that interview him for 3-hour special. You imagine, it's incredible. But if you want to know much more about Dr. Gray, you just go to his website, marsvenus.com. But I want to tell you something. I admire Dr. Gray not only for his extensive work on relationship and his profound understanding of human nature. I admire him for his amazing and unconditional love for his wife and soulmates, Bonnie. So I said to myself, without his permission, you know, I decide to dedicate tonight's episode to his beautiful wife, Bonnie Gray. And I want to invite Dr. John Gray to the show. Dr. Gray, I'm so excited to have you on. Can you hear me?
I hear you, and I appreciate you dedicating this show to my wife, Bonnie.
Yes, yes.
Carmen, if you know, Bonnie passed 2 years ago of cancer.
I know.
I feel your connection. I feel so touched. Yes. Even before the show, I felt this beautiful, beautiful energy from you. Carmen, you honor me. I'm just such a special person you are. That to feel the voltage of love and spiritual energy flowing through you. Amazing, amazing.
Oh, I love you, Dr. Gray. And I tell you, I love Bonnie. I never met Bonnie. And I think one day, if you give me the chance, I will help you connect with her. Because I've always believed that there is no death, you know, and there is another dimension. And we, you know, we transcend the physical existence, we go to that so-called continuous time. And I think that Bonnie has many, many things to tell you. And she's been there with you all the time.
Just being with you. She's here. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
She's here.
Yeah, she's here.
So I, with your permission, I will ask the people. I know there's a lot of people listening to the show. I will invite some of the people at some point, you know, if you're okay, to answer their questions, because there's so many people out there who would love to be able to ask you a question. Is that okay with you?
That's fine with me.
That's fine with you.
So one for thing everybody is that we only have a limited time, so they have to make their questions short.
True. Very short. So everybody listening, if you want to take this one-of-a-lifetime opportunity to speak with Dr. John Gray, dial 202-570-7057. And my wonderful producer, Christopher, will connect you. And in this way, you will ask Dr. Gray a question, but it has to be a short question because we have a very short amount of time. So I want to mention for everybody that we have a free course that Dr. Gray is offering to the listener, and it's called How to Get Everything You Want in Relationship for Women, Men, Couples, and Singles. So I know we all want that. So in order to access the free course, I want you to go to marsvenus.com/welcome-start-here. marsvenus.com/welcome-start-here. So this is the way you access this amazing course, and is a gift that we have for tonight for everybody listening. So I'm going to go straight to questions, and I'm going to ask you, my first question is, what inspired you to write your latest book, Beyond Mars and Venus?
Well, because we're going to do question answers, I'm going to try to keep my answers as short as I can, which is challenging. However, because if there was a short answer to solve all of our problems today, we wouldn't have all these problems. But I can help guide people in the right direction. And even with the free gift, how to get everything you want, you don't get it right this second, but how to move in that direction. Your trend will go in that direction as opposed to going the other way. You know, one of the things about Bonnie is Bonnie shared with me that she knew that whenever we had an upset, I would stop talking, go to my cave, and do some magic, and come back with more love. And she said, not just come back loving, come back with more love, so she could open up more and more, and we could grow together in love. And that's the promise of marriage, if we have the right tools. And so many couples, they love each other, but they don't grow together in love, and the passion and the interest tends to go away. So why did I write this new book? Why Beyond Mars and Venus? It's kind of like rewriting Men Are From Mars, Women From Venus, 25 years later.
So true. Mm-hmm.
Because today many women feel like they're from Mars, and this is the so male true. Energy. And as spiritual beings, and this happens, the more spiritual we become in our lives, the more access we have to connecting with our soul. And the soul is both masculine and feminine. In this life, it chooses to be male or female. And sometimes you've been a male for a long time. You say, okay, now I'm going to go over the female side, but your male side's easier. It's more comfortable. And vice versa for men. You know, I remember for a little boy, I must have had many lives as a female because I really understand women so well. And as a little boy, I'd watch my dad shave. And I'd go, oh, my God, how will I ever do that? I don't know if I can do that. And then when I realized you had to work for money to have a wife, well, how can I do that? Because, see, I didn't yet have the training in how to be a man. But it takes training, you know, and if you don't have it, it's easier for men to go to their female energy. And if you're, and actually what we know today is that women, when they're stressed, they're actually making more male hormones, and they're not making the female hormones, which are necessary for her body to come back into equilibrium and happiness. And when men are angry or upset or passive, irritable, grumpy, or lose their libido, actually their male hormone, testosterone, is very low, and their female hormone, estrogen, is very high. So simply put, we are now in a society that's pretty much experiencing role reversal. Men are having lower male energy, women having higher male energy. Men are having more female energy, which means female energy is feeling dependent on others to be happy. It's like, you know, think about women throughout history. They depended on a man to protect them, to provide for them, so they could do the things in the home. Well, now women don't depend on men, and they don't know what they can depend on men for. It's often women say, getting married. Why? It's like having another child. I've got to.
Exactly. You
know? So, and men become like a child. They become passive, and you have to take care of them, as opposed to, that's okay, if, for example, if you were cooking for your husband or cleaning up after him, if you felt that all day long he was doing something difficult or dangerous so that you would have food on the table and safety. But when your husband's just watching video games, it's not that thrilling. So what I did is I understood, very short, let me try to keep it real short, Maslow, last century, pointed out that when our lower needs can be satisfied by ourselves, then new needs emerge, and higher needs. And those higher needs are for love, intimacy, and freedom. And, you know, America is based upon, you know, the idea we want freedom and equality. And so the male part of us wants freedom. The female part of us wants intimacy. And women can easily go to their male side. It feels so good because they're free from the bounds of, you know, just being in the home and doing nurturing, intimate things like that. They have a balance that came in. And for men, if I don't have to work, I can do more enjoyable jobs, then I'll go to my female side. There's so many things like drugs. I can depend on them. I can see dependency becomes addiction. And for men, you have so much more addiction in men than women. But actually, women do have an addiction where they're addicted to their male side. You know, this feeling like you can't stop, you can't relax, that you're on go all the time, must do, must do, must do. That's a woman's brain today. She tends to be addicted to feeling overwhelmed, to doing, and that's her male energy. And men get addicted to their female energy, which is sitting in front of a TV set and watching a game, drinking a beer. Biologically, what's happening for men is their estrogen levels are rising as they get older, and their testosterone levels are going down. It doesn't have to be that way. And the nature is such that our estrogen as men, our female energy will increase as we get older, but it shouldn't have to mean our male energy goes down. That's the thing. See, for me, I have high estrogen levels like most men at you know, almost 70 years old, but my testosterone is like a young 25-year-old. So I have both those hormones. And that's not common today, but time ago, it was normal. We have changed, and we've gotten, in the last 30 years, we've changed a lot. As women have become more independent, it's hard for them to not be overwhelmed and sort of turn off the brain. And for men, it's hard for them to feel the kind of motivation and selflessness that men used to feel when they go off to battle and
so
they sacrifice their life.
Yeah. You're saying that all of these changes have a lot to do in the way we express ourselves, have a lot to do with the hormonal changes. And by the way, I want to tell you something that I would love to tell you. You lost your beautiful Bonnie to cancer. I lost the husband that I love for 27 years to cancer too. So if somebody understands what you've been going through, I do understand with all my heart.
That's why I felt so much just getting on the phone with you. Kindred spirit, yes.
And we have, you raised three beautiful kids. I raised three beautiful girls. I mean, it's like the similarities. I felt like I was where you are right now, a little bit before you, because my husband passed before Bonnie, but I so relate to everything you've been going through. And I'm such an advocate like you are of mental health, you know, and understand how significant it is balancing, you know, everything that's happening with the catecholamine in the brain, with the neurotransmitter, with the hormones. And you put it in such a way that people can rethink, you know, what's happening to them in a way they never did before. They never did. They never thought this way.
These are new ways of thinking. Right. You know why it's new? It's because we're facing a new challenge that's never happened before on a large scale. And so with every new challenge, there's massive opportunity, but there's also huge risk if you don't adapt. And I'm trying to help people adapt to these changes so they thrive.
So they thrive. And how you feel that this psychological and emotional evolution and hormonal transformation is actually going to affect love relationship for people?
Oh, okay. So now the next thing is, okay, now let me speak a little biology. What happens in the body is okay, there's an imbalance going on, and it has two major causes, maybe three major causes. Let me talk about the first two. One is I feel that in the 60s, there was a spiritual revolution. You know, I was a child of the 60s. I grew out long hair. You know, I wanted to get high, learn to meditate. I demonstrated for peace. I didn't want to go to Vietnam. It was all, those are not traditional things for men. You don't wear your hair out. Right. You know, if you're an entertainer, you do, who are creative people. But the basically, you just didn't do that. I grew up in Texas, you know. I was kicked out of school for wearing bell-bottom pants and long hair, you know, and I refused to change. Okay, so I still have my rebellious part of me, but that was actually a man going to his female side. And the women during the 60s, they were all out there going free sex and let's change the world, let's run the companies, we're going to all become CEOs and break the glass ceiling. And they were thrilled. Mm-hmm. It was like we were aroused. Women were aroused to become free to be their masculine side. Right. And men were so excited to be free to go onto their female side and enjoy life more, love, peace, happiness, learn to meditate. That was the whole thing. So having said that, that was a connection to spirit. And this is where this idea came from me. So it's just my experience. Is that one day I was meditating, and, you know, it wasn't like an internal voice talking to me. That happens all the time. But literally a voice spoke out loud to me. It just said so loud. It's so amazing. It said, "Hi, John." That was it. Now, that voice, whatever we're going to call that voice, was the perfect balance of powerful masculinity, something you could trust and depend on and just were inspired to be next to, and so much feminine love and caring. It's just like it was so loving and beautiful how both those things could coexist. And then I realized, wow, as we become more spiritual, we become one with the spirit, which is both masculine and feminine. So I feel a basic shift has happened. And, you know, often people in that kind of the New Age community, whatever, talk about ascension. I think we ascended then, and that we ascended to a part of our brain that can self-reflect and embrace both our male and female side. But the problem is, if you've been a woman and a brain of a woman for, you know, so many millennia, and now you have the freedom to go to your male side, to have both your female and your male side together is ecstatic because you're going from female to male. But on that midpoint, think of a pendulum going one direction to another. You've been way over on the female side. Now, as you're moving to the male side, that center point, that's the magic place where we're like connect with our divine self, which is both masculine and feminine. So that's a very interesting metaphor for looking at it. It's on a spiritual level, we've ascended, we have permission, freedom within ourselves. If we use that freedom, not everybody uses it. You can swing from one side, you can go to the other. Okay, now having said that, then there was another thing that happened simultaneously, is that Monsanto came along and created these powerful, powerful pesticides, which basically are called xenoestrogens. They come into your body, these pesticides in our food. It started in the 90s. Mm-hmm. When these pesticides get into the food, they touch the body, inside the body, we eat them, and there's the pesticides, the body doesn't know what to do with it. They bind with what's called estrogen receptor sites and give a message to the brain that you have plenty of female hormones. So for a woman, if she has plenty of female hormones, then she naturally goes to the male side to balance it. So just being exposed to pesticides causes women to become more masculine. And it causes males, and also proven that pesticides lower testosterone in males. So it raises testosterone in women because we're like complements to each other. So when a woman is having normal estrogen levels, it's because she feels, I feel safe and I can depend on my partner, I can depend on my doctor, I can depend on my friends, I can depend on God. I have someone I can depend on. That stimulates estrogen. And then once you feel like, oh, I've gotten what I need, I want to give back. So that's why we have the message, giving is more important than receiving, and that we were most happy when we give. But we're most happy when we give if we have an open heart that says, I have received so much that I want to give back. If you give to get, it doesn't make female hormones. It actually makes male hormones, which is I put forth my effort to achieve my reward so I can bring it home to my family. That's kind of the male side of us. So this is these are all very interesting ways of looking at what's happening now. And I feel like you have another question for me.
I have a lot of questions.
I know, but I just want to know what... I can feel your mind whirling around on what I just said.
Yeah, so exactly. I was just thinking, wow, this is amazing. You know, I never put it from this... But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So for everybody, this changes the perspective, you know, of the way we function, the way we think, the way we will evolve in the future. And the question is, all of this, is this going to affect the evolution of relationship long terms?
Oh, you know, here's the evolution of relationships. Yeah. Okay, now, so many people are in the camp, not me, but they're in this camp that says, why be married? Okay, they just think, you know, hey, everybody's getting divorced. You can't keep the passion alive. Consistent in everybody is we want more passion. We've tasted it.
True.
Because see, when you're on your male side, you go towards your female side, right in that midpoint, you are passionate. That's actually the genius place. That's where the higher self can really manifest, can incarnate into the body, is the flow state where you're in both your masculine and your feminine. I'll give you an example. Right now I'm in flow state. Talking to you, I went even a higher state of flow state where the divine flows through me because of your presence and our oneness. But the flow state is where you're serving and enjoying it and getting more out of it than the other person's getting. So you're giving and receiving at the same time. It's a little bit like what parenting helps us to learn to do, which is when you give to your children, you're giving to yourself. You feel that oneness with them. But it goes to a higher flow state when you can give to others that are not your children and connect with them, and it's giving to yourself. And a soulmate is giving to Bonnie, help me find my female side and have my female side and my male side at the same time. If I was loving her, I was attracted to her, and this is what soulmates are. You're attracted to someone who their gender is an expression of your own gender, and any conflict you have with them is your resistance to embracing your own gender, and it's a simple idea. Like, say, Bonnie liked to have the house be clean. And I'm kind of messy. Well, over the years, I became very clean because I respected her needs and so forth. And, you know, she had a lot of qualities. And as she's passed, it's like she's left even more of herself in me because the healing of letting go is actually bringing them back inside. And one of the things for Bonnie is she loved trees. And we live in, you know, a forest, and we have big redwood trees. Now, I'm enamored with the trees. I walk through the trees. It's like I have Bonnie's eyes as well as my own. And that is balancing the masculine and feminine. And that's what having a loving relationship allows us to overcome the hurdles of resistance to each other and coming back to love. But most people don't have those skills to do that. So what's happening is this role reversal is happening. And when women become more masculine, the masculine energy is attracted to the feminine energy. So she's not attracted to her husband, who's a man. She loses her attraction to the man. And when men are more on their female side, the female side is attracted to the man, but his wife has a female body, so he loses attraction for her. So that's one explanation of why role reversal kills the passion.
Right.
We're no longer connected to that part of us that needs each other and is different from each other. You know, it's the differences that create connection. It's the similarities that create connection, but it's the differences create attraction, because we're attracted in order to find that connection, to find her inside of me, for her to find me inside of her, which is such a paradox, a metaphor for sex. I mean, it's so amazing that the man goes into the woman and she finds him inside of her, and I go into her with love and love my feminine. So there's a dance. So back to your question, what's the evolution of relationships? I have experienced the evolution of relationships in that I watched my parents.
You did.
Yes.
Yeah.
I watched my parents have a loving relationship, but clearly over the years, like most couples who had a harmonious relationship, they didn't have passionate sex. They were family, you know, kind of a brother-sister kind of a thing. You know, it was we're family, but we don't have that romantic excitement. Mm-hmm. For Bonnie and I, we had it, and we kept it for 34 years, and I know how it happened, and now I have the scientific evidence of how it happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and if people could experience growing in love and passion, then they would realize the only way to get to that place is through commitment and marriage. That's what my experience is. Now, you may not have to put a marriage certificate on it, but it's the commitment. It's a woman. Bonnie told me this right away in the first year of marriage. I'll share a little quick story, which is, you know, I travel and teach seminars, and I was becoming more and more famous then. And I went away to Fairfield, Iowa. Someone invited me to give a seminar there. And evidently, it was at some wealthy woman's house. And I thought, well, that's fine. And the seminar was over. I was going to bed. And wearing sexy lingerie, she came in to my bedroom. And she wanted to have sex with me. Well, I'm in a monogamous relationship. You know, this had never happened to me. I'm not like some rich, famous guy that women want to jump in bed with. But suddenly, I'd become one. So I remember spending about 2 hours as she tried to convince me to have sex with her. And I'd say, well, I don't think my wife would feel that way, would be so happy with that. And she'd say, you know, you don't have to tell your wife, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, I did not have sex with her. And I went home and I told Bonnie, I said, Bonnie, there was this woman and she came into my room and I was away. And you know how much I enjoy sex with you. I could actually have enjoyed sex with her and it would just been a joyful experience. And it doesn't mean I doesn't love you. Would you give me permission to do that? And she said, John, I'm not in control of you, but I want you to know how it makes me feel. And whether these feelings are right or wrong, I don't know. All I know is that if I thought that when you traveled to other places, a woman wanted to have sex with you, my heart would just close down. I would be so afraid of losing you to a younger, more beautiful woman. And I just can't, I don't feel like I could grow in loving you. And it's hard enough for me to trust because of my own issues. To grow in love, I need that from you. And so I said, okay, then you have it. Okay, I just need a logical reason to do it. And clearly, that was her experience. Now, there's a truth to that, which is that if a man, you know, we know that as men, many men, as they, if they're successful, they grow in power, which makes them more attractive to women. And women, if they're young and beautiful, they have the power of attracting men. And women know as they get older, they lose some of that power, unless they know their real power, which we can get to. But most women don't know that. And so there's always a threat that I could lose him. But there's even something more that I discovered through monogamy. But the second thing I learned by being monogamous with my wife is that I bonded with her more. See, the more you know somebody, the more deeply you can go into sex and enjoy that passion. And what happens is a lot of men go, oh, you give up your freedom. And I said, no, you don't understand. When you learn how to have a good relationship, open-hearted sex, your intimate moments are open-hearted, what happens is that you bond so deeply that to bond with somebody else would be eating out of junk food. And for me, there was this realization that I didn't give up any freedom. I gave up the desiring for other women that don't want to be with me. And I have the freedom to be with a woman who does want to be with me. I don't have to look anywhere else. Part of that came from the recognition that the purpose of sex for a man, he thinks it's just sex and the pleasure and so forth. But I learned early on that the purpose of sex for men is to feel the deep love in their heart. Sex can open a man's heart up more than anything in most cases, because sex by its nature is estrogen producing. As long as you feel successful and you know how to do it and your wife thinks you're successful as a husband, your testosterone levels go to higher levels at that time than any other time. So what happens is by having a monogamous relationship, you have the opportunity to go to higher and higher levels of sexual fulfillment. And because the love increases. And, you know, when you just meet somebody, whatever, there's a sense of newness that creates a passion. But that newness always goes away. In previous generations, people accepted that. They said, well, that's the honeymoon period. It goes away. But people today, they want to have that amazing intimate experience of both the masculine and feminine energies being activated together. And we call that romance and passion. Some men might call it out of your mind sex, okay? Fantastic sex. And it's so fantastic. Why would I want to think about it with somebody else? But here's what happens, why men think about it with somebody else. And this is, I wrote a book called Mars, Venus in the Bedroom. I couldn't put this in this book because I didn't have the research. It's what Bonnie and I practice, which is generally speaking, we only had sex once a week. And I didn't know why, because there was a lot of pressure on me as a relationship expert. People always say, well, how much sex do you have? And if I said once a week, that only once a week, you know, I remember one of my single guys saying, once a week, you know, I'm having sex three times a day with my girlfriend. I said, yeah, how many weeks is this relationship going to last?
Yes, exactly.
Show me 34 years of great sex. Well, what I didn't know then is I just said, I'm going to follow my own intuition here and do what feels natural to me. I'm not going to force it. So what happened is now the Japanese have done a study, and they've proven that when you have sex once a week, that means when you have sex for men, they ejaculate. After a man ejaculates in sex, his testosterone levels, his male energy is cut in half. This is measurable. That's kind of like Saturday night sex, and then Sunday morning we're going to sit at church or we're going to watch the football game. We're not going to do much. Yeah. Men's energy drops. And anybody who's married has seen that. Okay, so the energy level drops in a man afterwards. Well, biologically, his testosterone went down 50% from where it was on Saturday evening. Now, if he doesn't ejaculate for 6 days, on the seventh day, when he wakes up, his testosterone levels will be twice as high. He will double. And this is, he becomes the man who can make passionate love to his wife. And what we now know is that when a man's testosterone levels double, it dramatically increases a woman's estrogen levels so that she can open her heart. Isn't that amazing? That biology, that science has shown that.
It's just amazing. This is... It's just the most amazing thing I've heard in a long time. I had no idea.
Now we have a scientific reason for monogamy. Now here is the biology is actually built for monogamy. Everybody talks about how men's biology is not built for monogamy. Actually, it is.
Everybody's talking about
that. Everybody talks about that. But nobody understands what I'm about to explain. Okay. So when a man has sex with a woman who doesn't love him, he will basically, his testosterone will go down 50%, and he will crave to be in another sexual experience as quickly as possible. Okay, it's sex produces so much dopamine, it's like taking a hit of cocaine or eating an Oreo cookie. Try eating one. You want another one right away. And that's the nature of a high hit of dopamine, is that it goes up and then it goes down, and you want it again and again and again. However, if a man makes love, this has been tested by the Italians. If a man has sex with a woman that he knows, like he's married to, and she loves him, which is theoretically what happens when you get married, so you test a happily married couple when they have sex. They measure for that man as well. His testosterone goes down like other men, but another hormone gets produced, and that hormone is called prolactin. And prolactin inhibits his sexual desire for 6 days. Till his testosterone levels double, and he's now super attracted to his wife again. So it is built in to be monogamous, but only monogamous with a woman who loves you.
Only with a woman who loves you, exactly. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
If a man feels loved in sex, his body will make this hormone, prolactin, and prolactin is generally only produced by women when they're breastfeeding.
Yes.
So it's a female hormone, but when a man has sex with his wife who loves him, he will produce prolactin, and prolactin has the effect of lowering your sexual desire for 6 days. So amazing.
Wow.
And then
amazing.
On the seventh day, it doubles. So if you have sex once a week in a way of having sex that satisfies her, now that's another aspect of all of this.
Of course.
And if we want to go deeper into it, and we'll go one more step. Okay, this is something that's never, ever been uttered in English language before. This is all, like you said, these are new ideas. But it's understanding.
They really are.
They really are. And because we are facing new challenges. And, you know, I've been facing these challenges helping people for 40 years. Who has been focused on gender for 40 years in the way I do?
Yes.
But the science has progressed and helped me so much with this. So we have the science of psychology. We have what's called a conditioned response, which, you know,
right.
Of course, you're very familiar with. But for everybody else, the conditioned response is a dog is eating. It's called Pavlovian response. The dog's eating a food. It will produce enzymes. And while it's eating that food, producing enzymes, you ring a bell. Now, next time that dog hears the bell, there's a conditioned response to produce enzymes. And now the dog will start to salivate, and there's no food. So that's a conditioned response. The same thing if a man with a brown hat hits me as a baby, maybe later in life, a man with a brown hat comes up and I become afraid. Now, we have these conditioned responses. Now, everything is to a great extent conditioned responses. Until we're in a stress-free state and we question that conditioned response and we have the ability to use free will and change it. But we're always going to have the reaction. We have to change the behavior based on the reaction, and then we grow new neural pathways in the brain, and we have the ability as humans to recondition ourselves and be free of the conditioning of previous generations. But that takes awareness and work. So when it comes to sex, now this is the thing about sex. So we know that what happens after a man ejaculates is his testosterone goes down. When a man has low testosterone, he needs to withdraw to rebuild testosterone. You see, connection creates estrogen. The distance, detachment, creates testosterone. What we want is both, right? So when a man has this huge surge of estrogen and his testosterone goes down, which is when a man who loves his wife, that's what he'll experience, is a high surge of I love her so much, and then his testosterone shoots down. But now I need to roll over on the other side of the bed. I think every couple can relate to that. And if a woman doesn't understand men's hormones, she wonders, why doesn't he want to stay connected to me? Why is he pulling away from me?
Exactly.
So now see, the body has its own intelligence. You know, if the body, if you put your finger in fire, it burns, your body will remember to... It just won't let you get next to fire. The body has its own intelligence. And so if something causes...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And the memory.
So, exactly, the body memory. So now you have this moment where the husband reaches his high peak of love and testosterone. He's about to ejaculate. Now his estrogen shoots up, his testosterone goes down, and he pulls away. Now what is his conditioned response when his testosterone goes down after ejaculating with his wife? His conditioned response is, when I'm with her, my testosterone levels go down. Now, I learned all this stuff first, maybe 6 years into the marriage, when a lot of the newness goes away. You don't get that free burst of dopamine and testosterone and sexual attraction when the familiarity sets in. So I'd be out at work doing my testosterone things, thinking, being a bit horny, wanting to come home, have sex with my wife. But when I come in the front door, suddenly I became tired. And you ask so many married couples, why aren't you having more sex? They said, we're just too tired.
Right.
My supposition here is for him, he has a conditioned response that in the presence of his wife, who he loves so much, his testosterone goes down. A conditioned response. Now, for her, we all know that most women, as they stay married for many years, lose their interest in sex. And also, we know their estrogen levels, hormones, go down. Actually, what I would propose is that when you're having regular sex, your estrogen levels stay very high. And, of course, after menopause, you don't have ovaries to make the estrogen, but your adrenal gland continues to make a balanced amount of estrogen. You can continue to make estrogen to enjoy sex. I have, I have friends whose girlfriends are older, you know, in their early 80s, and they're having orgasms. Not that many, because I don't know that many women, but that's my friends that I have.
Right.
They tend to be with older women. The older women are tending to go with the younger guys in the 70s. Anyway.
It all depends. I feel like this is different from individual to individual, you know, because people... have different levels of hormones. You can make it general, you know.
Well, let me generalize something. Is when you're having orgasms, your estrogen levels go higher than normal.
That for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Now we know that's for sure. Now let's say every time your estrogen goes higher than normal, what does estrogen do? It allows you to feel open, like I can depend on this person. So at that moment of feeling more that I can depend on this person, they disappear. They pull away.
Right.
What's the conditioned response? I don't want to open up that much.
Right.
That's all I'm talking about. So when you go open, so couples over time, and again, everything I say is just generalizations based on the majority of couples,
mm-hmm.
they lose interest in sex. And what I'm saying is they've lost interest in sex because of conditioned responses. And you don't have to lose interest in sex because if there's also something in psychology which is counter-conditioning.
Right.
If a man doesn't ejaculate for 6 days because he's being monogamous with his wife and having sex at appropriate times, so his testosterone levels double again. As soon as his testosterone levels double and his advancement towards sex with her, that sends a message to recondition her. Oh, he's back with more. He's back with more. That's called counter-conditioning. So that's the point of we become conditioned to not have sex. If you don't ejaculate for 6 days for a man, you double your testosterone. He's back. And I'll share just a metaphor for that, which is at 23 years in my marriage with Bonnie, I asked her how she rated me as a husband. Because what is happening around 23 years is we're literally in harmony almost all the time. So I thought, okay, this is my time for a good rating. And she said, as a father to our children, I couldn't imagine a better man. As a husband, you're not perfect, but you've given me the greatest gift any woman could want. And I said, what's that? She says, you know, John, I know sometimes I can say things and upset you. And when you get upset, you stop talking, you go to your cave, you do some magic, and you always come back with more love. And that coming back with more love, she then said, so therefore I know with certainty that I'm never going to lose you. You'll never leave me.
You make me cry, Dr. Gray.
I felt it too because I don't have her in the physical form right now. But
I know.
But to a woman, and I saw so clearly, for a woman to bond, we're talking about a bonding that's not just in the logical prefrontal cortex, but in the whole brain, the monkey brain, the instinctive brain, the primitive brain. So all of you bond with him and her, you know, that is so profound that you bring spirit into both all parts of who you are and you love at all levels. And that is attachment. Yes. And that's why we both have gone through so much grief. Because now here's the next thing when it comes to grief that I love talking about. And that is Freud explained this idea. And boy, did I experience it more profoundly when I lost Bonnie, and he calls it a need integrate. Are you familiar with that term?
Yes.
Yeah, most people are not. So let me explain it for most people. So a need integrate means that we all have a conscious awareness or an unconscious awareness that we need love. We need nurturing. We need someone to care. We need to feel understood. We need to feel appreciated. We need to feel trusted. We need to feel that. These are all forms of love. We need that. And the more we're no longer in a realm of survival, that need becomes stronger, as I mentioned before. So that's a need. We simplify by saying our need for love. A need integrate that Freud explained was that I need love, and now Bonnie gives me love. I can depend on Bonnie to love me. The brain goes through a change. The brain is plastic. It reorganizes itself, and it shifts gears from I need love to I need Bonnie. And if Bonnie dies, that monkey brain inside of me that's bonded to her, see, I don't need love. I need her.
Right.
So if she's gone, then I can't have what I need. And that's the pain that we go through, is until we reorganize the brain to experience that in the absence of Bonnie.
It's very hard. Very hard.
Yes, very hard. Very, it very takes hard. Time to do. And
after
there's a journey.
So many years of loving that person, you know, and, you know, going through everything, those amazing experiences with that person, and when that person is gone, healing, it's not an easy process.
No, it's a very, very big process, Yeah. And men and women do it differently.
Yes.
And that will be another book that I write on that one, because often, you know, everybody wanted to come and talk to me, whatever, and I needed to be in my cave because that's how I process my stress as a man.
Right,
but I needed to know how to process that pain, and most men are not adept at it. So you'll see men, more than women, commit suicide after the death of a spouse or even after an emotional breakup. And it can be so, so painful. And those that maybe it's not as painful, they tend to solve the problem by getting in a relationship right away. And
right,
whereas women,
exactly. That's exactly.
And women will tend, the average there is on a divorce, I don't know what the averages are on death, but I know on the average of divorce, a man will be married in 3 years, and a woman right. may never marry again, or it will be nine years before she's ready.
Look at me. No, I'm not, I can't, no. Yeah,
right.
I know what you're talking about.
Because see, women is the female side. It bonds more profoundly because bonding is a big estrogen thing, and this is why one of the simple practical tools for any of the guys listening. You have to realize something Bonnie told me for years. I finally got it. Is that women have a greater need for reassurance. Now, see, men have a need for reassurance. They don't realize it. What we need is what often women might say, stroke his ego. You know, men, they always want you to, like, see how great they are. But he's looking for reassurance that you see him as a successful male. He's looking for reassurance that he is capable of providing something of meaning and value for her. Whereas women are looking for the reassurance that you love her as you loved her in the beginning or even more. Because... You know, I have to, since we talked a bit about sex, another memory of sex comes up about reassurance. And it was after about 7 years in my marriage, I was having such great sex with Bonnie afterwards. I was just feeling like a Superman stud. And I said, wow, that was amazing. That was as good as it was in the beginning. And she looked at me and went, oh. She didn't have that much of a response. And she said, I thought it was better. And I say, well, how could that be better? And secretly in my mind, I thought, were you faking in the beginning? What, you know? And I said, so help me understand why you feel that was better. And she said, oh, John, it was wonderful in the beginning, but we didn't really know each other that much. Now you've seen the best of me and the worst of me, and you still adore me. That's what makes sex great. And that was a turning point in my life, which is why I remember the words of that time. It would literally change my whole thinking. I realized, yeah, that's true. It's like, and that became even more solid understanding. The whole purpose of the sexual act was to experience the depth of our love, celebrate the depth of our love, to continue finding that love. And for men in particular, sex helps him. Because, see, sex is such a estrogen producer in men. A sensation is estrogen production. When you're depending on someone to make you feel good. So when a man, you know, likes sex, he's depending on her invitation to have sex to feel good. So that's where he feels the most vulnerable is in sex. It's where he feels the most estrogen in sex. But it's also the place where he can feel the most love, and he can let love come in. You know, I remember once watching a movie of a guy who'd been in jail for, you know, a murder rap, and finally they found out he was innocent, and he got out of jail after 32 years of being a hardened person in jail. And some woman took compassion on him and had sex with him. They didn't end up falling in love or whatever, but she was just being kind, cutting his hair, and she realized what he'd been through, and they ended up having sex. And this scene showed, you could just see his heart. It was just like the emotional pain, tears, and agony at the same time pleasure came forth because he was feeling again. If you go way over to the male side, where you're not having a sense of purpose, you can stop feeling anything. You just detach from feelings altogether. And so here he was feeling again, and feeling all the pain that he had suppressed was coming up, which is often why often when women have orgasms, they'll cry, and guys kind of go, why are you crying? She says, I'm crying tears of joy. But actually, it's letting go of those deep fears of being alone that, that can happen. So we're going to take questions from people.
Yeah, one lady, Karen. Hi, Karen. Are you with us from California?
Yes, I am.
Karen.
Wonderful information. I can't wait to read your book, this new book.
Thank you.
So what is your question, Carrie, for Dr. Gray?
Yeah, okay. So it has to do with, you know, dating in 2020. Had met a guy for 10 months. All he does is text, like maybe once in the morning or maybe at night, and a lot of flirting goes on. But it never escalates to taking me out or even talking on the phone. And I'm just wondering, what is this? He's somewhat of a popular type of a figure. I do know he's known as someone who's kind of like a great guy. I know he's single. And I see, you know, like on social media, I'll see that he likes other women's photos, but never mind. But yet he finds me so beautiful and he says all these things, but it never goes anywhere. And I'm just wondering, what is going on with, like, the mentality of a man like that? And I believe he's in his 50s.
You know, I'm kind of stumped because I'm not in that texting world. I'm just thinking, he's definitely in his comfort zone with you. He's in his comfort zone. And I don't know how insecure he is or confident he is. Has he been married before?
No, never.
Okay, so that now I know a little bit more about him. So he's afraid of commitment.
Okay.
So he's afraid of being rejected. That's why men are afraid of commitment. To understand a man's fear of commitment is that he has put forth his best self of what he thought should work, and it didn't work in a relationship. And now he's afraid it will never work in a relationship. Does that make sense?
Yeah, interesting.
So now that fear of commitment could have even, and usually a guy who's 50 years old, usually if he'd never been married, it started in childhood, where either his father was not around or his father was in no way successful in making the mother happy. So a very unhappy mother gives to her son the fear of commitment because the boy will feel that no matter what I do, it's never enough to make mommy happy. Because boys only want to make mommy happy, just like husbands want to make their wives happy. Husbands, when they want a divorce, they often say to me, no matter what I do, it's never enough to make her happy. It's the bottom line of men, because see, if I can make you happy, I can feel successful. So he's texting you, and so tell me one of the things he says in a text.
Oh, compliments, a lot of flirting, a lot of like sexual talk, but also a lot of, you know, you're beautiful, you're intelligent, he finds me stunning, and that's about it, you know?
And that really is who this guy is. That's about it, I would say next. if you don't want to say next, see, there's a type of man who can't commit, but they tend to be super romantic.
Yeah.
But that's all they can deliver. they can't go beyond that. So it's like, now I'm going to do a generalization of the guy who wines and dines you and says all the right things and then disappears.
Right.
That's what I hear from women all the time. And these guys just, in a sense, they can't keep it up because they go too far. They're people pleasers. And then they can't please you. They just run out of steam. It's a lot of not him. It's a lot of lack of authenticity. Okay. He's just saying the words that make women happy as opposed to actually feeling them. So I personally would say next if you were my daughter. However,
yeah.
However, I would, your intuition, I also respect intuition. If your intuition is, I have to ask a more personal question, but when he texts you, does it turn you on, or are you just curious?
No, it does turn me on.
He's the wrong guy.
Wrong guy.
Yeah, he's definitely the wrong guy for you. because what's happening is there's a part of you that gets turned on by guys who aren't available to you. So what I suggest is to look at that is, let me try a different strategy and not spend time with men who want me more than I want them.
See,
you want to find a guy who's pursuing you more than you're interested in him. And here's the aha with this. If there's a pattern of being turned on by men who are not available, or men who burn out really fast, or I'm talking to the whole group now, not just you, or men who are married, or men who are movie stars, because you don't know them, it's all fantasy. So if you're turned on sexually by fantasy, the reality is you're not so turned on by reality. So let's say there's a guy which actually has the potential to be the right guy for you. You're not going to be turned on to him right away. So what I would suggest is if he certainly meets some basic requirements, he's not your soulmate, he's not the perfect guy, but you think that, you know, hey, here's somebody who could flatter me, be with me, and I could practice my new skills with him, which you'd read about in my book, you might then change that pattern. But regardless of patterns, I'd say next with this guy. He's a guy who can't commit, likes to get points for doing nothing.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, we're at the end of the show, and I want to thank you, Dr. Gray, for being my guest of honor. I cannot thank you enough. And for everybody listening, please visit Dr. Gray's website, MarsVenus.com. He has a live every Thursday between 10 to 12 Pacific time on Facebook. And, you know, this was an incredible show. Dr. Gray, you are just